Well, howdy, everyone. Thanks again for joining. And I pray that the Lord will speak a word into your life that will bring breakthrough. I mean, we're always breaking through, right? That's what God's intention is. It says in 2 Corinthians 3:18 that we go from glory to glory. So every time you go from glory to another level of stewarding and experiencing glory, then you are experiencing a breakthrough. The Lord said he set our feet in the Lord's place in the Psalms, which prophetic is about, prophetic word about our being in Christ. And this being in Christ is such a large place, where we are always discovering the unsearchable riches of Christ that are already ours. It's not that you get more, but we do discover more. And at every discovery, you've broken through from glory to glory, because Christ in you is the hope of glory. The scripture says, for you've died, your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is manifested, then you're manifested with him in glory. And so every time we make a fresh discovery that of who this, our union with Christ, our being in Christ, then we have another breakthrough into another level of glory. So my prayer today is that you have a breakthrough and go from the glory that you're walking in to another level of glory. I want to talk to you today about the incarnation, at the heart of the incarnation, because this is the season where we celebrate the incarnation, where the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Probably the most amazing to me, not probably, absolutely the most amazing miracle that we have in Scripture that's ever been, is that God himself would come and clothe himself in our fallen humanity and was tempted in every way like unto us, yet without sin. God clothed himself in humanity and allowed himself to be tempted in every way to redeem us and reconcile us back to God. You and I were created to be in union with God. We were created to be in union with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We were created into that inter-sanctum, that inter-sanctuary of fellowship and experiencing all that he is and all that he has. That's what God created us. You see, love gives. Love longs to give. Love wants to give extravagantly. That's the very nature of true love. And God is love. And it was his love desire to share with a creature. He created a creature, us, who could share in all that he is and all that he has, and to participate in the fellowship that he experiences with the Son and the Holy Spirit. Just remarkable. That's what it says in Ephesians chapter 1, talks about our predestiny, is that we have been grafted into the sonship of Jesus, that we might be co-heirs, experiencing all that he is and all that he has, and our being restored to that place of union, relationship and fellowship with Christ, and therefore union and fellowship in the Trinity. Not that you're part of the, or not that you're God, but you and I get to experience Jesus as our life, and therefore experience the fellowship he has. He shares that with us. He doesn't like give it to us. We participate in his fellowship with the Father and the Holy Spirit. So let me just read some scriptures to you. So I'm going to read a number of scriptures, so put on your Baptist Bible drill hat. This is from John chapter 3. All these are scriptures that are in John. So let me just pick my Bible up here and let me read them to you. I'm not going to read all the whole verses because it would be too many, but just part of the verse. But I'm going to read a few of the whole verses. Verse 17 of John chapter 3. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world should be saved through him. In John chapter 4, verse 34, Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his works. Now I want you to notice the word sent or sin he uses over and over again. Jesus is saying that he was sent by the Father. In verse 19 of chapter 5, verse 30 of chapter 5, I'm sorry. I can do nothing of my own initiative. As I hear, I judge. My judgment is just, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of him who sent me. In John chapter 5, verse 36, he bears witness of me that the Father, my works bear witness of me that the Father, has sent me. In chapter 6, verse 29, Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." In verse 38, "For I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but the will of him who sent me." Verse 39, "This is the will of him who sent me." In verse 44, John 6, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day." In verse 58 of chapter 6, or verse 57, "As the living Father has sent me." In chapter 7, verse 16, Jesus answered and said to them, "My teaching is not mine, but his who sent me." In verse 18, "He who speaks from himself seeks his own glory, but he who is seeking the glory of the one who sent him is true." This is verse 28 of chapter 7. "I have not come of myself, but he who sent me is true." Verse 29, "I know him because I am from him, and he has sent me." Verse 33 of chapter 7, "And I go to him who sent me." Let me just read that whole verse. Jesus said, "For a little while longer I am with you, then I will go to him who has sent me." In chapter 8, verse 16, "But even if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone in it, but he who sent me." Verse 18, "I am he who bears witness, of myself and the Father who sent me." In chapter 8, verse 26, "I have many things to say to you concerning you, but he who sent me." Verse 29, "And he who sent me is with me." You're kind of getting the point, right? Verse 42 of chapter 8, "I do nothing of my own initiative, but he who sent me." In verse 4 of chapter 9, "We must work the works of him who sent me." And let's see. I have these things marked in this Bible. This Bible's all marked up. Verse 42 of chapter 11, "That they may believe that you have sent me." In verse 44 of chapter 12, Jesus cried out and said, "He who believes in me does not believe in me, but in him who sent me." Verse 45, "And he who beholds me beholds the one who sent me." Verse 49, "For I did not speak on my own initiative, but the Father who sent me." Now we'll stop there. There's more. There's lots more. But over and over again, Jesus said that he was sent by the Father. Now, let me read some places now from John 14. Jesus has told them that he's going to leave them. And now he's trying to encourage them. "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places." I know that your King James Version may say mansion. I know there's a lot of songs about our getting our mansion, but there's nowhere in the Bible that says that. The word there is not a mansion. It's abiding place. It's dwelling place. "For my Father's house are many dwelling places." He's talking about our place in union with Christ, our place of being in Christ. "For it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to the cross to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, receive you to myself." He's not talking about the second coming. He's talking about when the Holy Spirit's poured out and we come into union with him. He said, "I will come to you again to myself, receive you to myself." I'll receive you to myself. Not just receive you, but receive you into union with me, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I'm going. And Thomas said, "Lord, we do not know the way. We don't know where you are going. How do we know the way? And Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Jesus said, I'm going to go to a place in me. I'm going to receive you to myself and go to a place. And he talks about going to the Father. Jesus said, no one comes to the Father but through me. In verse 20, amazing scripture, in that day, speaking of Pentecost, you will know that I'm in my Father, and you're in me, and I'm in you. Amazing. In that day, when I come to receive you to myself by the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and we come into union with each other, in that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you're in me. If Jesus is in the Father, and we're in Jesus, where are we? In the Father. That you will know that I'm in my Father, you're in me, and I'm in you. He who has my commandments, verse 21, and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me shall experience and know the love of the Father and my love for him. And I will disclose myself to him. And Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, what then has happened that you are going to disclose yourself to us and not to the world? Now this scripture, verse 23, and Jesus said to him, if anyone loves me and keeps my word, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. It's not keeping my word is proof that I love him. It's if I love him, I will keep his word. And my Father will reveal his love to him. And we will come to him. We, me and the Father, will come to him and make our abode with him. Now, I know that's a lot of scriptures. We'll make our dwelling place with him. Here's what I want you to hear. Here's what I want you to hear. I don't know if that's good English or not. Jesus is talking about recreating our union with him. Recreating our union with him and the Father by the Holy Spirit. Bringing us into his sonship and his relationship with the Father. Jesus is talking about providing this dwelling place in him, and he's going to take us into fellowship with the Father. Now, here's what Jesus did. He says that we, the Father, and me, we will make our abode with you, our dwelling place with you. This is all about union. Him and you, you and him. You're experiencing him as he lives his life, Jesus, through you. You're experiencing his fellowship with the Father and the Holy Spirit because you're in him. It's not something that you earn. It's a place that Christ has taken you to. This place, a union with the Father that Jesus lives in. This place of intimate fellowship. It's not a place you earn, not a place you work for. It's what's yours because what Christ came to do. Now, hear this. Jesus is saying over and over again, he was sent by the Father. Jesus said, the Father sent him to bring us home. Now, Jesus, let me put it this way in first person. Jesus said, the Father sent him to bring you home to us. Again, the Father sent me, Jesus said, to bring you home to us. Now hear that again. The Father sent me, Jesus said, to bring you home, to rescue you, and to bring you home to us. Because that is your home. That is your dwelling place in Christ, in communion with the Father and the Spirit, in union with the Father and the Spirit. The fellowship that Jesus knows, the nearness that he experiences, the reality that he lives in this shared joyful, this shared love, this place of mutual favor, this wonderful relationship that the Father and the Son and the Spirit have, you've been brought into that union with God. Because that's what you were created for. You were created to manifest the very life of Christ on this earth and to participate in the fellowship that Jesus experiences in the heavenly places with the Father and the Spirit. And Jesus said, the Father sent me to rescue you and to bring you home to us. That's remarkable. How did he do that? Did he come to take us by the hand, to bring us that place, to bring us to that home, that place of union with the Father? No. He clothed himself in your humanity and mine. The Word became flesh. Jesus clothed himself in our humanity, lived a perfect life, undoing our broken record, and then paying for our fallenness and crucifying the estranged one, the one who is at enmity with God, and then raised us up in union with him, joined to his life, that we might experience his life being manifested through us on earth, but also joined because he's clothed in your humanity forever, sitting in fellowship with the Father and the Spirit. That's your home, seated in heavenly places in Christ. You never have to work for nearness. You don't pray for nearness. You don't fast for nearness. You don't study your Bible for nearness. You pray in the place of nearness. You pray from the place of nearness. You fast from the place of nearness. You read your Bible seated in heavenly places from the place of nearness. Now we grow in our consciousness of that nearness, but it's yours as a free gift because Jesus said the Father sent him to rescue you and to bring you home to them. The Father sent me, Jesus said, to rescue you and to bring you home to us, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And he did that by becoming you, dressing himself in your humanity, and carrying you into that union with the Father. That's the incarnation. So I hope all this makes sense to you. I hope it blesses you and ministers to you. I pray that you'll cultivate two things. One, the consciousness that Christ lives in you, and everything that you face on this earth, you face that from Christ. You face that from Christ. But also that you live with a consciousness that you, moment by moment, are seated in heavenly places, living in conscious fellowship, unbroken fellowship, unhindered fellowship, inseparable fellowship, the dynamic of the fellowship that Jesus has with the Father and the Spirit, that you live in that constantly, and that you have a consciousness of that nearness and that fellowship. You're not scratching your way to get into God's presence. You are there because you're in Christ. Okay? Well, I pray that blesses you. Take care.